Welcome back to another episode of The Clever DJ with Ilya
and Nino. This is episode number 18.
Number 18. Yes, going strong. All right, today we have an episode that is very important. They're all pretty important, but this is one you should definitely listen to.
Definitely.
This is for everyone who just wants to know what's the best way to create that first impression, that proper image for the promoters to like them, to want to book them to the best venues, the best parties. And also yourself as an organizer, what you want to look for. So it's who you want to be as a DJ to have the right image and what DJs you want to look for. So it's looking at it from both perspectives. Now, Nino, you dealt with a lot of DJs over the years because you have your own company, right? So you're not really a promoter. Back in the day, you were kind of in the club scene, but right now, it's not about being a promoter. Right now, it's just making sure you have the correct DJs who are on your roster so you know who to give the gigs to, right?
Yeah.
So it also works for that. So really, if you need DJs on your team, or if it's because you have a one-time event or you have several events a year, or you just are not an organizer, but you're like, why am I not getting booked? Right? I'm a good DJ.
You're a good DJ, but
what's missing?
Yeah.
Right? So that's what we're going to talk about today. All right. So I have a list here to go through. Number one thing, I don't even know if that's number one, actually. They're all important, but the first thing I have on the list here is, it's kind of a two-parter. DJs who cancel a lot of gigs, or doesn't have to be a lot, they kind of frequently cancel. They have a high cancellation rate.
I think you're talking about if you're booked at an event and they make a flyer and stuff and then you cancel it when...
Yeah. Whether you have a legitimate reason or not, you don't have a backup.
It just looks bad on you.
Yeah.
Just it's not a good look.
No, because you just messed it up for everyone, yeah, especially exactly. If you're the headliner, right? So don't say yes unless you're sure. I had a few opportunities to say yes to some really cool gigs and I said no because I know that there is a chance, a 10%, 15% chance I won't be able to make it, right? Mm-hmm. That client you gave me a year and a half, 2 years ago, they started booking me regularly, right?
Yes.
And then they asked me to do another event of theirs. Mm-hmm. And I told them, I most likely won't be available during that time of year. Get a backup. Let me know, though. I would love to do your event, but let me know before it's too late when you want to talk about it as a kind of like, we need to know now.
Yeah.
And I told them, hey, if you do it any other day, I'll do it. But that day, as it turns out, I'm still unavailable.
Yeah. And you're being honest, right? But promoters and event organizers are looking for reliability in this case.
Yeah, reliability for sure. You got to be accountable for what you're saying. And then the second part is being late for your gigs. I mean,
this goes without saying.
So unprofessional.
Yeah.
Again, you're standing everyone up. You're making everyone suffer because of your your
tardiness. Like this
being
is something
unpunctual, right?
This is something that they won't forget too, right? It leaves a bad taste in their mouth right from the beginning, right? So
and there are a lot of DJs out there who are amazing DJs, but they just don't have the time to promote. They don't care about promoting, which baffles me. It's your gig, right?
Yeah.
You might be even the headliner. Don't you want people to know?
Yeah, of course.
Don't you want to create some hype, right? Even if it's absolutely selfish and you're just doing this for your own ego and, hey, check me out. I'm going to be performing here. And plus, the more people come, the better you look, the better you get paid every time because they know, oh, this person is bringing a crowd each time.
Yeah. And that's the world we live in the DJ world now. We're not just DJs. We have to promote as well.
You have right. to. Yeah. Just like producers, back in the day, they were just doing a couple things, mm-hmm. right? But now a producer is everything. It's a one-stop shop from the idea of the track to the release of the track and promotion and everything.
Yeah.
And marketing. Yeah.
Marketing. DJing is another way, another avenue of getting the music out as well yes. to the masses.
And now producers are also DJs, right? Yeah. I mean, it's been like that for a while, but...
Yeah.
Another thing is coming and going. If you're one of those DJs who shows up to do his set, let's say you're one, there's four DJs and you're like the first or second one. And then there is, you know, at the end, there's the one who is going to open for the headliner and then the headliner. But you are not even there anymore. You are the first or second DJ. You showed up, you did your thing.
And then left.
Maybe you hung out for another few minutes, but then you leave because you finished your part.
Right? It looks bad on you. You need to stay and just create that vibe and just add to the event because you know you're a part of it, right? And they expect you to party with them.
There's this... spot here in Toronto that I really like, and it's very unique. I've never seen anything like this where they have their own CDJ setup, and it's kind of like an underground place where you come in and you get your half an hour slot if you sign up, and you just, you know, you play your set,
you do your thing, right?
Sometimes it's a longer set, sometimes it's, you know, really long. It depends on what kind of night and who you are, but normally it's half an hour per DJ. Mm-hmm. I rarely see a DJ play and leave. 90% of the people there stay and promote because sometimes the place is empty. Really? Believe it or not, I don't understand how. It's such an awesome spot. Management is pretty cool. Drinks aren't expensive and it's in a pretty good location. But it's, you know, they're there. They don't know who you are. You'd think they're friends, they're best friends. The person who just switched with the other person, they don't know each other. Maybe they've seen each other a couple times.
Yeah,
especially if they're friends, they're staying, right? But you need to support your event promoters, organizers. Like, you need to support the DJ, the crowd. You're there to make that event successful. You're not just there to play music
exactly.
and do your piece and leave, right?
Exactly. You need to stick around. And it's connecting with other DJs. You can get more events if you're just, your face is just everywhere, right?
Yes. Now, we're in the process of organizing an event right now, a pretty big one. And with some DJs we spoke to do not know how to use the equipment. Now, I'm not going to be hypocritical here. I don't know how to use some of that equipment, but I'm not the one DJing. Mm. And I'm not the one claiming that I can do all that stuff. But they want us to hire them when they can't use that equipment. And they're saying, you know what, I'll learn, you know, a week before or something. No. I'm not up for taking the risk.
No.
Right? You got to know how to use that equipment as well as you using your FLX4 or whatever it is you're using. Right?
Yeah.
And so some of them are professional DJs. They don't have that gear at home, but they've used it enough that they know how to use it. That's fine.
Just as long as you know, the basics, right?
If you don't know at all, you just have no experience with it. I don't care if you own it, but if you don't know at all, then... I'm not okay with it.
No.
Yeah.
That's not cool.
And so this is pretty much it about knowing how to use your equipment. I mean, it's, if you are coming to a gig where they're going to use a certain kind of equipment, make sure you have experience with it. And if you don't, don't tell them that you
obviously
do.
Obviously, you're going to know what equipment you're going to use in beforehand. So it's your job to make sure you know how to use it, right?
Yeah. And don't say you do if you don't.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so another big one is getting intoxicated.
Oh, man. That's, yeah.
So it's not that you could just make mistakes if you're high on drugs, you know, if you drank a lot of alcohol. It's not that you could only make mistakes. You could be kind of lethargic, not very approachable. It invites so many issues. I've seen some people that it's better if they're on some kind of substance. Honestly, they're better on it.
It makes their sets better.
And it's sad that that's what they need, but that's just how they are.
That's how they work, right? But it's not
excuse me. Yes.
It's not a good look if you're piss drunk when you're DJing, right?
Yes. And it's normally the brain operates in a way that it's not going to help you. Some people, I don't know, it just brings out a better person. but as a rule of thumb, we're saying no. Do not be one of those people who is always intoxicated. I mean, if you can... if you just have that image and everyone knows that you'll be fine, I guess fine, but no.
Yeah, if you have that, you have that image that you're always drunk and you're probably not going to get booked anyway.
Yeah, so...
right. And in this day of age, there's cell phones everywhere taking pictures and you don't want to be caught.
Videos, yeah. Among those people. I will definitely make sure I have that.
Exactly, bro.
Yeah, so... you're filmed all the time. And if you're not filmed, people will remember it. So in either case, you don't want to have that bad image. And that promoter or that other DJ who organized the event is never going to forget what you did.
Oh, never.
So, and then they have friends and then they have their own contacts. So
they'll tell their friends. And
you're getting blacklisted, man.
Never get any bookings in that, ever again, in that circle.
Yes. Now... a huge one. We spoke about it a couple of times. DJs who don't read the crowd. So this is true for every kind of event. If you don't read the crowd, then you're disconnected with the audience, the people who paid all this money to get there. Mm-hmm. And they're going to probably blame the organizers, the promoters. Yeah. Like, who brought this person? Like, he's not even playing the music we want to hear.
A lot of DJs are just stuck up on playing what they like. You got to play what the people are moving to and what they're reacting to, right? So it all also depends on the genre you're playing. Now, if you're stuck on one genre, you have to know the big songs. That's now your music knowledge is very important.
Yeah. And like, again, if it's like an EDM event and people expect something completely unrelated and they're saying, oh, you're not reading the crowd, that's not it. Then they're in the wrong event. Mm. But if you're in an EDM event and you're playing the wrong music within that event and everyone knows you should be playing something else, whether it's within your genre or maybe another genre that's acceptable that they expected you to have... in your list, then that's what we're talking about. Next, that's a huge one. That's huge. Do not play the headliner's tracks.
Yeah.
That also happens with when there's a band and a DJ. We spoke about that too.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes the DJ plays what the band is going to play, and then vice versa, right? So they don't communicate, but it's almost like known that you're not going to play all the bangers in your set, like the headliner stuff, right?
So yeah, so make sure that you know how to handle that situation. You know, if I don't know a certain genre very well and I don't know like what are the best songs and I'm just going to assume what they are, if I'm in that position, I'm just not going to take that gig. Mm-hmm. If I'm not controlling that kind of knowledge, knowing what they're going to play, what I'm going to play, I'm just not going to go and do that because I'm not going to be in a situation where I pissed off the headliner.
Yeah.
Right?
Because you're never going to get booked again from that promoter.
Likely, yeah. Again, it depends how bad you crash and burn, like with your mistakes, but don't play the headliner's tracks. It's a common etiquette.
Another thing that would DJs, like big DJs, headliner DJs would say too, is like, there's enough bangers to go around. And you can argue that as well.
You could,
right? But you know the bangers, like the tracks that'll get people like riled up.
Yeah, right? But that's not your job as the opener. You're not supposed to rile them up to that level, but right?
Honestly, I've seen DJs, warm up DJs, who have played bangers, and the headliner doesn't mind because I have a lot of songs in my bag. It doesn't matter what you play. I'm good.
But then it depends, right?
It also depends.
They have a dynamic.
Yeah.
Right. Maybe they know each other. They've done this before. If you go to a place where you don't know who to expect, I mean, don't take that risk.
It also depends too in the crowd, man. If they're feeling it, sometimes the crowd, there's a the crowd leaves and comes, there's a like a wave, right? And it's okay if you replay songs in that way. And a lot of DJs in Miami do this as well.
Crowd circulates, you're saying.
Yeah, the circulates. Okay. That works, right? Yeah.
I wasn't sure what you're talking
there's
about.
There's a lot of instances that we're talking about that are different. But in general, you don't want to play bangers. Yeah. Yes.
At first,
yes.
I thought you mean like they went out for a smoke and came back. No. Okay, so.
No.
Yeah. I'm like, yeah. Really? You're going to replay a song?
This is actually new style. Like DJs like are thinking this way now.
Yeah. Another one, and I've seen that. I've seen that early on, being impolite, just rude DJs. They just have a huge ego, and they think that the world is there for them, and they're the main.
Everybody's there for them, and nobody else.
And
right?
Why wouldn't you hire me? I don't care how I'm going to talk to you. This is who I am. You're not. Newsflash, you're not the only DJ out there. There's lots of other people who will take your spot. So treat people the way you want to be treated. Yes, it's everyone knows that line, but I mean...
It pays to be nice.
Why do I even have to say this?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm saying this because it's... At every list I looked online, it's talking about that because some DJs have a really bad attitude.
Nobody wants to work with.
Yeah, and they're good DJs.
A bad attitude,
right? Yeah. Like their transitions, their musical knowledge, but just crappy attitude, right? So definitely don't think you're safe if you have everything, but you don't have that. Unless somebody is really desperate, right? But yeah, you don't want to bank on that. Also, going back to promoting, just promoting is not enough, right? I mean, you got to make sure you invite the right people.
Mm-hmm.
So... Don't invite troublemakers, right? One of the things that we spoke about with one of the owners of the venues for the event that's coming up, were what kind of promoters we're gonna bring.
Yeah,
and he knows that certain promoters also bring in the wrong crowd,
like thugs. Yeah, and stuff, right.
Yeah, people who are there for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
So. That's extremely important that if you are promoting it, you're promoting it to the right crowd. Like, you can't control everyone who's going to come, right?
But to an extent, you can with who you invite.
Yeah, make sure you have as the actual event organizer, make sure you have the right promoters. And as the DJ, I mean, you know which communities to promote and which friends to personally invite and which friends to ask to bring their friends, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's really important. You know, I know that some friends that I have, they're amazing friends, but they hang out with some people that I'm like, I would never ask them to bring those people along. And if they say they'll bring them, I'll probably tell them not to.
Yeah.
There's no shame in that, right? It's my event or it's my, like, the organizer's event. I'm going to be careful with who's coming there, right?
Exactly.
If I can control it, I'll intervene.
You don't want a drive-by shooting happening at
anything like that. You don't want the event to just get canceled or, you know, just anything unfortunate to happen. A big one, and I'm still learning how to do that, right? I mean, we play back-to-back sometimes and sometimes you swoop in and you still teach me how to do that correctly. DJs who don't know how to switch. So you're DJing and then somebody else... is the next DJ is coming up and the transition from one to another is not seamless.
Yeah, it's not smooth. And this actually, you need to actually learn how to change up or do different transitions to change in between a DJ. Just for example, if you're an opener and you have someone coming in for the headliner, they have to know how to switch in. With you, right? So whether it is getting someone getting on the microphone while they're changing with their laptop or getting different types of transitioning, right?
Yeah, so there's not one way.
There's tons, different ways.
Normally it's just the USBs, you know, like in the CDJs, and it's really easy.
Yeah.
But
normally there's two sound cards for mixers, so you can switch it seamlessly, right? Another way is just transitioning from one song to another, and you can kind of coordinate with the DJ that's playing right now to switch in. A couple of ways that you can switch in. So you have to make sure that you know how to do that properly.
Another one is, you know, if you did everything right, but maybe you're excited, overly excited, or maybe you, I don't know, have a last minute change, but then you had 10 other last minute changes, like in your, with the guest list, and you're just bugging the promoter the whole time. Don't get on their nerves. Don't become that person that they're like, oh, it's that person again. Yeah. Why am I hiring this person? He's driving me crazy.
They're stressed. They're running an event, right? Yeah, so you want to leave them alone. Give them their space.
So don't bug the promoter too much. Make sure that before you talk to the promoter, you double check, triple check everything you had to do in regards to what you want to talk about, and make sure it's final, and then bring it to the promoter. But normally have everything prepared ahead of time. If they tell you, hey, I need a guest list by this month or by this date, I need to know this, this, and that by this date, make sure you have it. Don't leave it to the last minute, because then you'll end up messaging them and it's going to be a back and forth and they're not going to appreciate that. Anything else?
I think that's pretty much it, man. You covered it.
Yeah. There's so many more things, I guess, we could talk about that right now we might not be thinking about. But I think if you handle this list we just went over, as the DJ, you'll get booked. And as the organizer, you'll know who to book. And that's what we're learning now. That's what we're going through now.
Yeah.
All right, well, this is another episode. Thank you very much for tuning in.
Episode number 18.
Wow, right? We're getting up there.
We are.
All right, till next week.
Coming up, episode number 19.